Are we worrying about the future too much? Are we future tripping? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. As I create episodes for this channel, I am doing so for comprehensible input for English language learners. The target audience is intermediate to advanced level. I don't create videos at this point for beginners. Our criteria for comprehensible input was given to us by Stephen Krashen. The content should be interesting. It should be comprehensible, that is, we can understand it. It should be compelling. It should be relevant to us. It should be something that captures our imagination and our attention. As I make these episodes, I am well aware that most of the content for beginners deals primarily with objects, people, and events. It's very basic language, and skills at that level will allow people to travel and get what they need, but they won't be able to discuss interesting human topics with other people, because a lot of what we talk about in any language is ideas. So I try to make sure that these intermediate to advanced videos deal with ideas and concepts as well as just objects, people, and action. Today, I'd like to explore future tripping. Now, future tripping is a casual expression. It's not a scientific or clinical term. There is a proper word for what we mean when we say future tripping, that is anticipatory anxiety. From a psychologist's point of view, future tripping is all about anxiety. Humans are in an interesting position because we have the ability to recognize patterns and anticipate the future. That has served us very well over the long term. But our ability to anticipate the future also enables us to develop anxieties about the future. The term future tripping developed in the 20th and 21st century, and it's much talked about now. It's usually cast in a fairly negative way. We are cautioned to not future trip about things. If we choose to be complete in this discussion of future tripping, we should identify two forms. One is anxiety about the future, worrying about the future. And the other is fantasizing about the future, imagining the future the way we want it to go for us. These are the two ways people think of future tripping. When we look at future tripping in terms of the anxiety we may have about the future, people talk about overthinking things. It's very common for us to hear someone discuss the future in terms of the worst case scenario. Whenever I hear someone speak of the worst case scenario, I have to wonder, are they trying to anticipate problems they're going to solve, or are they just future tripping and creating a very negative scenario that stops progress on this topic? When we future trip, frequently, this is related to our desire to control things. In reality, there are things that we can control. There are things that we cannot control. When we are future tripping, frequently we are trying to figure out how we can control things which we cannot control. People future trip about a variety of topics. They worry about relationships. They worry about finances. They worry about their career. These topics can be very anxiety provoking, but when we talk about future tripping, really what we're talking about is someone indulging themselves to think about and worry about these topics excessively. Indeed, we must think about the future. We need to plan for the future. If we have no future plans, then our trajectory can take on a random path. People who plan for the future are well rewarded when they do so. However, if that planning for the future turns into excessive future tripping, and the main activity is celebrating one's anxiety about the future, it can be very distracting from what's happening right now. One can get caught up in all this anxiety about the future and fail to function in the present. When that happens, we would have to classify future tripping as a distraction. It has been suggested that excessive future tripping, excessive anxiety about the future, can lead to procrastination, because the anxiety that one has can interfere with acting on things and making actual progress in that area. So should we consider future tripping negative? Is it bad? Well, I don't want to go that far. It is usually cast in a negative light when people talk about it. We are not encouraged to future trip. We're encouraged to plan ahead. We are encouraged to avoid future tripping, live in the present. In the 21st century, and before that indeed, mindfulness and meditation have become popular in the United States. There are a lot of books on that topic, a lot of seminars, a lot of videos. Years ago, I was interested enough in meditation that I decided to get some formal training, and I went to a meditation center in Marin County and attended a day-long. It was fabulous. I haven't been back, but that's not to say that I won't. Basically, everything that we talked about at that day-long was to counteract future tripping. Mindfulness meditation was the centerpiece of what we did that day. This is not a new topic. It's a relatively new term of art, but people have been anxious about the future for millennia. We didn't invent this idea. We just have a new term for it. When I explore ideas like this in videos, I am not prescriptive. I'm not here to tell you what you have to do and how you should run your life. It's not my role. I certainly can share what I like to do in this area. I like the approach taken by the Stoic philosophers. Basically, the guidance we get from Stoicism is to try to figure out what things you have control over and what things you do not have control over. Focus your effort on the things over which you have control, and then accept the things that you cannot control. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but it's nice to have that guidance. So how did we get to this topic? Well, I caught myself future tripping this morning. Not in a terrible way, but honestly, that's how we got here. I am recording this at the end of July. Soon it will be August. In 2 months, the leaves on these trees, including the one right above me, will be changing color. They will lose their green color in favor of reds, orange, and yellow. Eventually, they will turn brown and fall from the tree. This is a maple tree. A lot of the trees in this park are deciduous trees, and they will lose their leaves. And this process will be on full display in 2 months. In 6 weeks, our community band will start rehearsing for the fall session. We already have the sheet music, which I have downloaded and put onto my tablet. I've actually been playing through some of the charts to get familiar with them. I don't want to show up cold on the day of the first rehearsal and not play well. I want to be ready. So with respect to the community band, my anticipation of the future is very adaptive. I know that a future event will happen, our first rehearsal. I know I have the music, And I know I have an opportunity over the next 6 weeks to become familiar with these songs we're going to play, these charts. I would like to be ready. The reason I found myself future tripping today was the weather. I got up with the intent of making a video fairly early in the morning, but the weather was cold, overcast, and misty. It was simply not conducive to making a nice video. So after I completed breakfast, an hour of input, and my coffee, I had a little time on my hands. And so I started thinking about where we are on the calendar and where we're going. This channel is now 11 and a half months old. In 2 weeks, it will mark 1 year on YouTube. The growth of the channel has been much quicker than I expected. The growth of the viewership and the subscribers has been very encouraging. The other thing about this channel that has gone better than expected is the creation of content for the library. Since I am a language learner and I use comprehensible input, I knew that for a channel like this to be useful to you, the viewer, we needed a collection of videos so that you could watch more than just the one that's being posted whenever I post a video. I needed to create a library so that committed language learners could start watching videos and have a nearly inexhaustible supply of content that they could use for months. I set the goal that by the end of this year, I would have 100 hours of video posted online. I estimated that that was going to require about 500 videos because when I first started out, my videos were not very long. Now, the average video on this channel is a little over 15 minutes. So if you watch 4 videos, on average, you will absorb 1 hour of input. That's handy for people who want to keep track of their input. You don't have to keep track of the minutes. Just count the number of videos you watched and divide by 4, and that will give you a fairly accurate picture of how much input you've gotten from this channel. Within the next few weeks, I will have 400 videos, and that will amount to over 100 hours of content available to the viewership 24 hours a day. I do encourage people to take advantage of the videos in the library. I have learned from my own journey learning Spanish that repetition is a very powerful tool. Frequently, when I listen to an audiobook in Spanish, I don't understand it completely. If this is the case, when I finish an audiobook, I go back and start at the beginning and listen to it again. Usually the second time through an audiobook is very fruitful for me because things make a lot more sense and I notice a lot more of the language and how the thoughts are being expressed. Now, while I'm on that topic of noticing things, that deserves a little more attention. When I say notice things, I don't mean look them up and study them. I don't mean write things into a journal. I don't mean practice pronouncing words. Those are the traditional methods that have failed us in the past. I'm going to take a term of art from that meditation center that I visited in Marin County. They use the term resting your mind on something. That is, notice it, rest your mind on it, and then move on. Just be aware of it. Since we are learning with comprehensible input, a lot of that learning is at the subconscious level. So we don't want to deep dive into explicit learning here because that will derail this subconscious process that will otherwise occur. In other words, when I use comprehensible input, I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. So my goal when I don't understand an audiobook is to keep moving, understand as much as I can, and then realize that after I finish it, maybe a few weeks later or maybe soon, I will replay that audiobook and it will make a lot more sense and I will notice a lot more about how the thoughts were expressed. This is the way I would encourage you to use this material. During the past 11 and a half months, I have published one video every day. The purpose was to build the library and build the viewership as well. My plan is to get to that metric of 400 videos and then probably cut back in the frequency of publication. This will allow me to develop different kinds of episodes, explore some different production techniques, and hopefully refine my craft here. Producing one video each day has its advantages, but it also comes at a great cost. Each of these videos takes a lot of time to produce. So I am foreshadowing that once we get to the metric of 400 videos, thus 100 hours of content, I plan on publishing probably about 3 days a week. With respect to this, I am planning for the future, but I'm trying not to future trip. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.